Okay, first thing first. Today is a special day. It's my day, right? It's Father's Day. Come, can I invite all fathers to stand? Come on, you can do better than that. Let's thank the fathers for their labor of love. All right? Yeah. And maybe before we pray, I think the one who deserves the most of our praise and our thanksgiving is our Heavenly Father. Let's give the Lord and wish Him Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, Lord. Yeah, for You are our good, good Father. Hallelujah. Come, let's pray for our the fathers here that are here. Lord, we want to thank You that You are our good, good Father. We want to thank You, God, you have set for us an example like no others. And because You have set for us an example that like no others, we feel blessed, God. Even fathers in our midst, we feel blessed that we can always turn to You for help. We can always turn to You for Your grace, Your mercy. And we can always turn to You because You said You will never leave us nor forsake us, even in our fathering journey. So we just want to pray for the fathers in our midst. We pray, oh God, that Lord, firstly, that Your presence and Your grace will always be evident in their life. That Lord, You will tune, oh God, Lord, You cause their sensitize their ears and eyes to be able to see Your goodness, oh Father. And let them know, Father, when they have issues, when they have concerns, they can turn to You, oh Father, and You will grant them wisdom to be able, God, to be a blessing to the children that they are fathering. So today, oh God, as we celebrate Father's Day, we pray that You will bless the fathers in our midst. Let them know, oh God, that Lord, You love them dearly. Strengthen them, empower them, and bless them. We pray all this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people say, Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, fathers. Well, we are 3 days away from camp, and upon receiving this preaching assignment, I knew immediately I wanted to talk about something concerning the overflow, which is the theme of our camp. I felt that it would be good to prepare those who are going for camp so that our hearts would be ready to receive Him. But I thought also, more importantly, many of us not going for camp, right, that you will not miss out on the blessings as well, that the Lord will cause an overflow, an overflowing of His blessings upon your life as well. And that's why we are. I prepared this sermon. So I thought maybe not so difficult, but it has proven to be a bit more difficult than I expected in the preparation of this sermon. Let me share with you why. I searched the scriptures, then I read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, which is the text today. That got stuck in my mind because that I thought is the most, the best description about a life overflowing with God's blessing. Okay, let me read. In the English Standard Version, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work." In the International Standard Version, it reads, "Besides, God is able to make every blessing of yours overflow for you, so that in every situation you will always have all you need for any good work." Every blessing of yours overflow for you. All right, that's where I got the sermon title, Blessings Overflow, Overflowing of Blessings. After reading this verse, is there anyone here who say, "I do not need this kind of life"? All right. "I do not want this sort of blessing. Having all grace abound, do you not want to experience the grace and the unmerited favor of God in all areas of your life? having all sufficiency, do you know not want to have more than enough? And then in all things, at all times, do you not want to see these blessings, right, overflowing in your life anytime and all the time? I dare say that all of us want to live such a life. We want the overflowing blessings of God so that we can do every good work and be a blessing for those that are around us. Then if that's the case, why is it difficult for me to prepare these sermons? You see, I struggled with the preparation of this sermon because the context of this verse in 2 Corinthians 9 is about giving. Apostle Paul was preparing the Corinthian church to give to the Christians in Jerusalem. At that point of time, there was a famine and the people were suffering, and Apostle Paul was challenging them to give. He was teaching them regarding the principles of giving and the right attitude towards giving. In verse 6 and 7, it says this. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully or generously will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Very good verse. But I was not intending to preach about giving. I wanted to prepare. I said already, I want to prepare us for the camp. I want to prepare our hearts to receive from God so that we'll be ready to receive the blessings from God. And I also do not like, I do not want to make it seem like, you know, God, there is condition to receiving from God, from receiving the blessings of God. I do not like to portray God as one who will take, as an entity who will ask you to give and to take all the time. In my mind, the more we give, the lesser we have. In my mind, it's a zero-sum game and it's simple math. And that's why it's difficult for me to preach about giving. Because a bit paise, you know. Yeah, because asking people to give. But to tell you the truth, I tried to change, okay? I tried to change the sermon. Right? I tried to change the verse to Psalms 23. Oh, his cup overflow, the Lord is your shepherd. To me, it's a better sermon, easier to do it. But I felt God telling me that it is not only about giving, right? The sermon and this session here is not only about giving. And it's calculus. His math is not simple math. It's not a zero-sum game. And so I obeyed reluctantly. I've learned also not to argue with God too much when I'm trying to serve Him and kind of things. So I searched then the scriptures and meditated upon the word. And I was convinced, after the preparation, I was convinced that the main point of the sermon, indeed, it is not only about giving. The main point is about God. It is about knowing God. And with that right focus on God and knowing His attributes, right, we will learn. We can learn how to live a life overflowing with God's blessing. And that's the gist of the sermon for today. Well, let's pray. Lord, we want to thank You for this time. We want to thank You that the Word of God will be preached. We pray, Lord, even as the Word of God is being shared, Lord, You will open up our hearts to receive from You. You will sensitize our spirit to hear what You have to say. And Lord, as we listen of Your Word, allow us to know You more and more, to know You better. Because in knowing You more, in knowing Your attributes more, Lord, that will enable us to tap upon Your blessing. So we just want to commit this time into Your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first point on knowing God, right? Knowing God and that He is able and He is willing. Before we talk about the alive living, a life overflowing with God's blessing, you must first know God. You must first know who God is and what He stands for. And as Christians, most of us are Christians here, we already know that God loves us and He sent His Son Jesus to die for us on the cross. Sin has separated man from God, but Jesus came to reconcile man back to God so that we can have eternal life. But beyond believing God so that we can get to heaven, Jesus provides for us access to God such that we can tap upon His blessings as well, even when we are here on earth. He said in John 10:10 that He came that we may have life and have it abundantly. In the Amplified Bible, it says, having it to in abundance to the full till it overflows. That life from God will overflow from our life. It signifies a life that's richly blessed and full of God's grace and provision. It is not just about physical provision or abundance, but it is about spiritual fullness and blessings as well, where God's love, His joy, His hope, His peace will overflow into every area of our life. That's the kind of life that God wants us to have. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 confirms it. It confirms what Jesus said about the abundant life. And I said that knowing God is the main focus of the sermon today, because I am then convinced that the more we know God, the more we are able to live a life overflowing with God's blessings. So I'm going to use this verse and other related verses to help us know more about God and know more about His attributes. So let us read this verse together. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Say, God is able. Come on, say it like you believe it. God is able. The first attribute that we must remember, we must know, is that God is able to bless. Just in case there are some of us here who says that I am stretching. No, one verse that you stretch so much, right? And rely the whole sermon on just one verse. Well, I'm going to use other verses. Read other verses to help us know God better. Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verse 20 says this. Now, to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that is that works in us. God is not only able to bless, He is able to bless above what we can ask, above what we can think, above what we can imagine. That's what God says. That's what this verse says. Because He is powerful and that power is at work in us. That's to confirm what I just said, that God is able. In case you still do not believe, triple confirm, I'll give you one more verse. Philippians 4:19. And my God is able to supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Right? In this verse, it says God is rich beyond measure. He's able to bless and He's able to supply all your needs. Right? He's able to supply all your needs. And there are a lot of other verses talking about that God is able, but no time to reach them. All right? Come, say it together with me again. God is able to bless. All right? If he's able to bless, but if He's not willing, then susah. Okay? No point. Isn't it? But this verse tells us that God is willing to bless as well. God is able to make all grace abound to you. Right? God says that His grace, His abundant blessing is directed towards you. It's directed towards you. He's not only able, but He's willing to bless. That overflowing blessing directed to all of us. It tells us that God is willing to bless you. And so that's what the scripture says. And that's how we are going to believe it, that God is able and God is willing. Romans 8:32 says this. If you don't believe me, so that's why I'm using scripture
to expand the scripture, all right, to explain the scripture. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely gives us all things?" This verse tells us that God is willing to give us all things. Why? How many of us are willing to sacrifice our son for someone who is not deserving? None, right? None of us. But God did just that. If God did not withhold his most precious son to save us, to save you, to save me, he would be more than willing to bless you with all things. The verse says this. I did not make it up. It's not my words. It's what the Bible says. We must know what the Bible says about him and his attributes. And it's that this is not a man's words or opinion, but it's God's word. God's words are powerful. And so we need to know more about him. And the more we know about him, the more we have access to his blessings. For many of us, because we do not know enough of God and his attributes, we do not have the faith to believe that those blessings are for us, that God is able to bless, that God is willing to bless, and then his blessings are for us. Let's see what the Bible says next. Huh? Okay, but before that, say God is willing to bless. What else does this verse say about his blessing? It says, all grace abound, all sufficiency, all things, and all times. It tells us that the blessings of God is all-encompassing. All. Four alls in this verse. The key word is all. All right? And if you think that I'm stretching it, actually, earlier on, I've read about four or five other verses. Every single one of those verses has got the word all. All right? The similarity is all. All grace, all sufficiency, all things two times, all times, above all, supply all your need. God loves to use the word all. That's an attribute of God. God loves the word all. Okay? How is it possible? How is it possible that God is able, God is willing, and God's blessing for us is all-encompassing? Well, Jesus said it himself. Matthew 19, verse 26. Jesus said, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Amen? Amen? That with God, all things are possible. So before we start talking about sowing and reaping, we must know God. We must know God's attributes as shown in 2 Corinthians 9:8. And all those verses, like I said, the scriptures say so. What then we must get into our mind, our heart, our spirit is this, that God, our God, is able to bless, he's willing to bless, and his blessings for you, his blessings for me, are all encompassing. And if we truly know that a God like this is involved in our life, a God like this is leading us and guiding us, then following him, following his words, following his calling will be slightly easy. I pause now. I wanted to say easier, but not so easy. The reality is not so easy, but certainly when we follow, we must know that he is there with us. One more blessing, okay? That's why lots of blessing today. One more blessing in verse 8 itself. To truly enjoy the overflowing life, we must have this blessing, or otherwise it will seem incomplete. This additional blessing is to enable us to fulfill our God-given purpose, which is to live a generous life. Verse 8 tells us that God blesses us so that we may abound or overflow in every good work. God intends for us to be a receptacle of His blessings so that we can give it away and be a blessing to the world that is around us. That in itself is a blessing, and that is a grace from God. This is important, as Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ to do good works. We are created for good works. We are created to be a blessing to those who are around us. That is our purpose. God causes His blessing to overflow in our lives such that we can be a blessing to the world. I say that again, that it is a grace from God, of God. For Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. God wants us to live generously just as He has blessed us. Let us generously. Now let us take a look at how 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 is connected to the preceding verses. Paul said about the every good work. All right, and this every good work that Paul was challenging, was saying, was his challenge to the Corinthian church to give generously to the Christians who were in need in Jerusalem, who were suffering. You see, the Corinthian church initially, when they heard the call, they were enthusiastic about giving. They wanted to give. Their response was positive. But then, don't know why, in the course of time, they seem to have gone hesitant. They have seemed to have gone reluctant about fulfilling that promise. It was not indicated why they have become reluctant. Maybe, we can only imagine, maybe they started looking at their own needs. Maybe the Corinthian church started to look at their resources and think that that's not enough. All right? Or maybe it's as simple as, it's not my problem. It's somebody else's issue. It's somebody else's problem. Not my problem. But regardless of why it happened that way, Paul was exhorting them to give generously, not as a grudging obligation, because he was imparting the principle of sowing and reaping in their lives. The spiritual principle of sowing and reaping. He was trying to instill in them the right attitude of giving and blessing. Verse 6 says this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. It is both a natural and a spiritual principle. You will not reap unless you sow. In the beginning of year, we said this already, that this will be a fruitful year. 2025 will be a fruitful year, but we need to sow. And as we sow, then we will reap. If you want to sow, you want to reap big time, you want to reap the bountiful blessings of God, then you got to sow bountifully. Paul was asking the church to exercise this principle. He was teaching them to live and to give generously, because their God is a generous God, and He's both willing, able and willing to bless. Brothers and sisters, Paul is showing us that generous living will keep the blessings flowing, because we are created for good works. God blesses us so that we can give it away and to bless the world that is around us. Luke 6:38 confirms this. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. God has appointed us to be a receptacle of His blessings so that we can give it away. But it is not a zero-sum game. When He challenges us to give, He will always give back. With the measure that we use, it will be measured to us. That is the principle of sowing and reaping. And I'm not talking only about money, all right? It's not only about money. It's the same. Time, energy, empathy, love, right? All this thing, compassion even. As we sow, we will reap. That's what the Bible says. The only way to keep the blessings flowing continuously is to keep giving them away. Is to keep giving them away. But is that our reality? Well, now sound very serious, very quiet, okay? Is that our lived reality? This kind of sermon not easy to preach. Because as you write, then you got to ask yourself, I've got to ask myself, really? Really, man? Is it like that? Right? Are we all supposed to experience the abounding grace of God? Are we supposed to have all sufficiency? Are we supposed to experience such blessings all the time? Is it true in my life? Is that your lived experience? Not easy to answer. All right? I've been a Christian for 40 years, and I must confess that there were many times in my life that I did not feel very blessed. Life not very abundant. These are usually during difficult times. Nah. All right? Life wasn't very abundant then. So I'm going to share some experiences that I have, some stories that I have as I experience God through my journey as a Christian. At age 27, old man already, I think 20 years ago, yeah? So it seems like a long time. Age 27, 56 this year, okay? 30 over a year ago. I wanted to quit my job in the army to serve God full time. I was still under sponsorship, study sponsorship then. At that time, I was very involved in church, okay? And as I served him in church, I felt that God was calling me to go full-time, okay? This was affirmed by my pastor. Pastor says so must be correct, right? Yeah. So, full of faith and determination, I tendered. I applied to break bond, to resign. I didn't even tell my mother. Okay, your love. Young people, tell your parents, okay? You want to make this kind of decision, better tell your parents, all right? Don't blame me later on, okay? But I did not tell my parents. And I firmly believe that God is able to bless. God is able to help me break my bond. And I told God that I was prepared. I was prepared to give my job, my career, as a sacrifice unto God. That's what I told him. But, not approved. Okay? Was very disappointed. Went through quite a bit. Eventually saw a number of senior commanders and not approved. Very disappointed. Because why? I was passionate about serving God. I was thinking that all I wanted was to serve God, right? Yeah. It's a good and even can say it's a noble aspiration. And then the next few years was quite devastating as well. Because why? After you tender, you apply to break bond, you think you still will succeed in the army, man. Yeah. To many, it is a career-ending move, if you know what I mean. Okay? After you tendered, after you indicated to your company that you do not want to carry on with them, they will not invest in you anymore. And because of that, I was posted to a less desired position. To many people, that's the end of my career. No more. Finished. But I believe that God is able. So at that point in time, I could not understand, even though why he's able, why did he not enable me to leave? All I wanted to do was to serve him. I felt that God did not honor my faith. I felt that God did not, even though, sometimes like this, you know in your mind that he's able, but then he don't do it for you, right? He doesn't answer your prayer. So that was very disappointing. I did not feel very blessed then. But despite the setbacks, okay, as I journey on, I could sense the presence of God. I could sense God with me. I enjoyed His favor. And even though I was in a less preferred job, I, surprisingly, surprised to me and many other people, I was promoted in that less favored position. All right, I was promoted even above or ahead of some of my peers, my friends. Okay, so God placed several good leaders in my career then to learn, to grow. They helped me in that process, and I grew. The presence of God caused me to find a bit of success there. But the funny thing, or the irony, is this: then come the time where I'm supposed to leave, right? I stayed. And I stayed for 32 years. Okay? So it happens like that. I retired as a colonel. And it was far beyond what I have expected. And far beyond what a lot of other people were expecting as well. People who knew me, who have journeyed with me in the military. And I would testify that the success factor in my career was the favor of God. The presence of God. God was with me and the favor of God was there. He was with me throughout my career, and the grace and the unmerited favor of God helped me through my career in the army for 30 over years. Well, during that 32 years, I continued to serve God. I continued to perform many roles in the church. I went for mission trips, lots of mission trips. I organized events, outreach. I had opportunity to preach and to share, to let sell. I did many things, serving God wholeheartedly without leaving the army. The only thing is, church didn't pay me. The government did. All right? The government did. Army did. I always joke. Okay? My wife not here, so I can say this. I always joke, that maybe Stella is the one who was praying that I did not leave, because army pay better. Yeah. Through that journey, I've grown to learn that God's ways are higher than my ways. That as I commit myself to serve the kingdom, God can give. All right? All things can be added unto me. All things, includes my career, can be added unto me as well. His presence and His grace was with me all the time, during the good times and during the bad times, not so good times, the challenging times. His presence was distinct sometimes, but in other occasions, His presence was faint. But through it all, He was there. He never left me nor forsake me. The journey took many years before I then realized that God's blessing was indeed overflowing in throughout my career in the army. God is good. That's my conclusion then, that God is good. So with this kind of experience, that should make me trust God in my career, right? Certainly it will make me trust God more in my career. But no, after 32 years, just before I retired, a couple of years just before I retired, at age 50, I was supposed to retire. The fear of lack and the fear of the unknown gripped me. I did not feel very blessed then. See, all uniformed officers are supposed to retire by age 50, and then I have to look for a job. Okay, I will dispel one myth today. That, high-rank officer, after you retire, the government will look for a job for you, going to become MP. Okay? Those things don't happen, all right? Those things don't happen to most of us. We have to look for a job. We've got to take care of ourselves. We've got to find a second career for ourselves. Because only age 50, the word retirement is bluff one, K one. You still have got to work because the needs are still there. All right. So in my mind, God can supply all my needs. But when faced with job uncertainty, when faced with the possibility of an income job, that troubled me. Why? The girls were still schooling. Going to the university, the costs, all that are going up. But then the income could be coming down. It disturbed me. All right. It disturbed me. Besides schooling, the mortgage needs to be paid, okay? The car coming 8 years already, need to buy a new car,
maybe it's not a need, but then at that point of time, I started counting and counting, okay? And then started to think that maybe you should cut this, cut that, all that, because the mind, because of that lack, and because my eyes was focusing on the needs and the potential lack, the in my mind, when it circulates around, all I could see was lack. My mind knew that God is able, but when my eyes see the realities, the two doesn't add up. Started to plan, okay? Started to think about, okay, good thing is, after working for 30 over years, there's some gratuity, like retirement gratuity, they call it, okay, that we receive. And then it's a safety net to me, you know. Must keep, must protect, because after a while, it may be gone. It can tahan, I can tahan a while with this. That was what's in my mind. Then I applied for a job at Workforce Singapore, WSG. Because the mind was thinking about lack, there was a fear of the uncertainty, and anxiousness. There was anxiousness throughout the process. I've been in HR for decades. Now. I was doing HR in the army. Decades, you know. I sat on the side and interview people, countless of them. Then when I got to sit over the other side, wow, no good. The feeling wasn't good at all, okay? It was anxious. You need to prepare. Not very pleasant. But I thought that I was praying, I was seeking God, and God was leading me every step of the way. And eventually, at the last interview, I met the CEO. Interview. I thought the interview went well. I thought God has led me. But there are two candidates. They chose the second best. They didn't choose me. I was upset. I was unpleasant. I was not selected. Okay, it was unpleasant. But I surrendered. At that point, I surrendered. I had to surrender because I did not want to continue living like that, having that weight, that lack, just guide my progress, that process. I surrendered. Just as God led me in my career in the army, I sense God asking me to trust Him. When I surrendered, the anxiousness left me. And through the referral of a good friend from church, I went for another interview. Okay? I went for another interview. And after that interview, you will want to hear me say, well, then the job came. 7 months of silence. Yeah. We got like that one, right? Yeah. After people interview you, never say a word for 7 months. But then, after 7 months, the offer came. But during that process, God was training me. God was teaching me to trust Him, that He's leading me, that I should not be anxious. I should not be overly anxious. I trusted God with my first career, and God was showing me that He will provide. He will provide in time. He was with me through the former process, and He is with me in the realities, in the current process as well. God is good, and He provided. God provided. Good place to end a testimony, but never end. Okay? The test came shortly. Okay? That's life. I mean, you think as you journey on, the journey carries on. It's never a full stop. Maybe until the end when we meet God, right? It's never a full stop. You continue, right? The test came. The test came. This test came in the form of four letters. Okay? This letter is CLIP. CLIP. The church, for those who are not familiar, is the church building project, right? We were told to seek God, to listen to what, to seek God for what He wants us to give. Okay? And when the number, the figure came, it was the largest amount I've ever given in my life.
God wants to touch my safety net there. Just now I told you that there was a gratuity and I wanted to hold back, right? But then, when the figure came, so how am I supposed to feel? How? Tell me how. Yeah. But the truth is, because that process of waiting, the process of surrendering has caused my heart to be settled. My eyes not to look at the present lack and circumstances, but to look to God. And God then assured me that it is not only about giving. He assured me that as I know Him for 30 over years as a God who provides, as a God who is generous, as a God who is willing to take care, God was assuring me all of that. And because of that, right, instead of agonizing over the time, I was glad. There was a change in attitude. The number came into my heart and there was a change in attitude. And the attitude was one that says that, wow, now I've got some funds to give. Because of my retirement, I had some funds to give. And God was assuring me that even as He calls me to give, He will give back. I've grown to love Him more. He is God who's able. He is God who's able and willing to bless. I've grown to know Him better as a provider and as all-sufficient God. And I believe that when He calls me to sow generously, I shall also reap generously, bountifully, because that's a principle that He has established. And Stella and I, why I mention Stella is because this kind of faith journey, right, actually sometimes it's harder for the wife. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But Stella and I committed ourselves to give cheerfully. That's my journey for my career. Actually, I got many stories. I will share one more in the interest of time. All right? This one is about sickness. I remember two episodes in my life where the blessings of God seem absent. Okay? Not very blessed. That was when I was sick. I was suffering intense pain. One was during an episode about 9 months, 8-9 months or so, where I had a headache, all right, intense headache. And this pain was unbearable. I was given 2 to 3 kinds of painkillers, but it only brought slight relief. There was a day where it was so bad at the workplace that the pain caused me to throw up uncontrollably in the office. Right, it was so bad that I had to be hospitalized. They sent me to the hospital, hospitalized. Went through the X-ray, the MRI, the CT scan, all the scans, okay? I have gone through it all, but the specialist couldn't tell me what was wrong with me. And because couldn't tell me what's wrong with me, sometimes no news is good news, but other times it brings lots of anxiety, isn't it? Because you don't know what's wrong. Your mind will always tell you the worst-case scenario, okay? So it was difficult. And to illustrate how bad it was, I would run sometimes. I don't like running, okay? Even though I'm in the military, I don't like running. But because of the pain, at lunchtime, when the sun was up, I would go running. Because after running, after perspiring, maybe the adrenaline will cause some relief to come. That's how bad. Couldn't sleep well, couldn't eat well. But thank God, after 8-9 months of this pain, the pain suddenly just went away. The doctors couldn't say why as well. I thank God that God healed me. Our God can heal, and that's the grace of God. Maybe help me thank God for His healing. But during that period, right, you can imagine with me, I didn't feel very blessed then, okay? All grace abound. What kind of grace? Why the suffering? Then a few years later, I developed another pain. Some people are old already, from hip pain to shoulder pain, okay? Another pain. And this pain grew. Initially, it was slight pain, but then it grew more and more, okay? The hands started to get numb, And then at a certain point, you feel like the current, electric current. And it's weak. You can't grip. You can't hold. It was worrying. And the pain was so bad that I had to sleep straight in bed. Each time I turn, the pain would be so sharp that I would wake up and I couldn't sleep anymore. Right? Lots of pain, cannot sleep. And according to the, you know, if those of you who have treated for pain before, the nurse will kind of ask you, from the scale of 1 to 10 or 0 to 10, how much is the pain? All right? The pain was 6 most of the time, and it was 9 occasionally. And the doctor said that, okay, the cause is about is a bone that impinged on the nerve. I don't know how it works. Along the spine, it impinged a nerve, and then the pain came here and it affected the arm. Okay? And then the doctor also said, this kind, if you want to treat, no other choice. You got to operate. Surgery. Then you can imagine, operate on the spine. You wouldn't want to do it. But I also cannot imagine living with this kind of pain the rest of my life. Okay. Where is the grace of God? Do I feel very blessed? Okay. But thank God, right? After a year, now I can thank God it's only a year, but then the year sounds, it's a very long year. The pain vanished. Okay. I believe that God healed me again. And without a need for surgery. So God can heal. And the grace of God was with me through that process. And He healed me. Help me thank God again, please. But the truth is, it was very difficult to proclaim that your life is overflowing with God's blessings when you are in constant pain. That's the truth, I tell you. I have to rely on God to get by every day. And because I was still working, life needs to carry on, right? Yeah, rely on the grace of God. And during that period of time, I learned the meaning of this verse, that my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. During those times, I grew stronger in compassion for people, especially with chronic pain. Because sometimes when we say, oh, I pray for you, I can't understand what chronic pain is, but now I could. Right, those unbearable pain that comes often, I could. Empathy grew. The grace of God was there when I was sick and when I was in pain, even though the journey was difficult and dark. During those times, I received overflowing love from my cell members and friends as well. I think through my many years as a leader, God has enabled me to be a fairly generous leader, a caring friend. And that those are the things that I sow. I sow in church. I sow as I live. But when it comes to reaping, right, I felt that I reap even more. The overwhelming care and concern from church members, they were a blessing to me. They brought so much comfort. They brought so much strength so that I can journey on. I experienced the grace of God through God's people in our midst, right? During those dark times, during those painful days, and those comfort, those love that was expressed brought so much love, joy, peace. The blessing of God was with me because of God's people. Can I have the worship team, please? Just now I said already, actually got a lot of other stories where I did not feel so blessed, but God was there. My parenting journey, family issues, okay, all the not so pleasant times, and we, with all these inconsistencies, can I still say that all Christians can enjoy the abundant life overflowing with God's blessing? Life is not a bed of roses, even for Christians. It's true, right? With all the ups and downs in life, do I still believe that all Christians should enjoy the overflowing life? Well, I would like to read for you one of my favorite verses. That's from Romans 8:28. That's exactly how I believe. Verse 28 says this. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. One more all. We know that all things work together for good. Right? God is able to bless and God is willing to bless. And therefore, I believe that all things will work together for good. For those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. But I added one more word. And that word is eventually. Eventually. That all things will work together for your good. Eventually. Why? Because some of the blessings of God takes time to develop. We want it our way. We want according to our time. We get disappointed because the blessings doesn't come. It doesn't appear so readily. But God says that all things, all means all things works together for good to those who love God. And all of us love God. To those who are called according to His purpose. And all of us are called according to His purpose. We may want it in one way, but God's ways are higher than our ways. Psalm 23 teaches us this, that even with God as the great shepherd, all right, we still have to journey through the valley of the shadow of death. We still have got to fight the enemies, right? Even with God as our great shepherd. The overflowing life is one where the presence of God and the grace of God is there with us every step of the way. Right? The presence and the grace of God every step of the way as we face the challenges in life. In this world, there will be trouble. That's what the Bible says. But through it all, the psalmist says this, that You, Lord God, You anoint my head with oil. My cup, the cup in my life, overflows with Your life. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I will dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. Why don't we stand? So, brothers and sisters, in Christ, we can all experience, we can all live the life overflowing with God's blessings. That's the kind of life God wants you to live. God wants me to live. That's the kind of life that God intends for all of us. But we must know Him. All right? We must know Him. Beyond knowing Him in our head, we must know Him in our heart. We must know Him in our spirit, that He's able to bless, that He is willing to bless, and His blessings for all of us are all-encompassing. And the better we know Him, the greater access we can have to His blessings, to His presence, to His grace. Those are made available for all of us. I'll share with you my life stories, and that God is able and willing to bless. I've shared how He has seen me through good times, challenging times, the dark times as well. But through it all, God has never left me. God has never forsaken me. He was there with me. His presence kept me going. And I believe that His presence, His blessing, His grace will keep you going as well. So we're going to sing a song, and that's how we're going to respond to God. We're going to pray, all right? We sing the goodness of God. And I believe that as we sing that song, God will bring to our mind, our spirit, that He has been good. He has been good to you. He has been good to you every step of the way. And as we sing, let's just allow that thanksgiving, that gratitude to come from within us to worship Him. Why don't you lay us?
I love You, Lord. She never fails me, and all my days I've been held in Your hands. goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful.
Some of us here are going through the fire, going through hard times. Some of us here are facing uncertainties in our life. It could be in our career, it could be a health situation, it could be a relationship issue, our relationship with our children, trouble in the family. As we sing this song again, let's bring our needs before our good Father. Let's bring our needs before Him and let's proclaim the goodness of God upon those needs and trust that God indeed will act on our behalf. Come, let us sing.
I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. And in darkest night, you are close like no other.
Even as we dwell in the presence of God, even as we dwell in the house of God, we commit ourselves to know you better. Lord, we will not take things into our own hands. We will not just look at the problems, but we will lift our heads high. We will keep our eyes focused on you. We want to know you better. And so grant us faith to believe that you are able.
Grant us faith to believe that you are willing to bless so that we can live the overflowing life. And then as a church, oh God, and the church here, LSBC, Lord, with the overflowing blessings of God, Lord, you will enable us, oh God, to take this blessing and to be a blessing to the world that is around us. Daniel 11:32 says it, that those who know their God shall be strong and shall do great exploit. So we pray that all of us here in church will know you more and more, and out of that overflowing blessing, you will enable us to live generously and to make a difference in the world. Thank you for all that you've given to us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Let's sing the chorus again. A God who's able, who is willing, who can bless you beyond all you can ever ask or imagine. If there's any one of you here who wants to know that God, can you put up your hand? Can you put up your hand and we will pray for you? Is there anybody at all that you want to receive God into your life so that He can work in your life and you will see the overflowing life flowing out of you? Anybody at all? All right? If there's anybody, you come down. If you have brought a friend and you does not know God yet, bring him down and we will pray for them. I also want to pray for another group of people. Later, I will dismiss the congregation, but I believe that some of you here, I just sense that some of you here just need someone to pray with you. All right? The days are dark. There are pain. There are pain in your heart, in your mind. There are pain in the body. Right, there are disappointments. So if that's you, you come down as well, and we, the leaders here, will pray for you. Okay. So right now, Lord, even as I dismiss the people, come, let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word, oh God. Lord, let it not only be a feel-good sermon. Lord, let us believe once again, oh Father, that you are able. You are willing, and that all your blessings are all-encompassing and out of that overflow of blessing in our life. Lord, enable us, empower us, and help us, oh God, to make a difference, oh God, to the people around us, to our family, to our colleagues, to our loved ones, to our students, the students in our school. Lord, let us make a difference in the world. Let us bless the world and make the world a better place, oh God. So Lord, empower us as we live. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.